Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I'm going to start with Romans 8, 31 through 32 and 38 through 39. In face of all of this, what is there left to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, can we not trust such a God to give us with him everything else that we need? I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are reading from Johnny Erickson Tada's little devotional, Beside Bethesda. And today we're talking about, she's going to continue with her story. I can't begin to describe the feeling that swept over me shortly after my diving accident when I realized I was a quadriplegic, that my paralysis was total and complete. Devastation, depression, denial, none of those terms even come close. The permanence of my condition was too much reality to beat. It didn't help that my friends were going off to college, getting jobs, and going on dates while I was stuck in a hospital bed. My future in a wheelchair? I could not fathom it. I cried out to God. I wanted reassurance that my world wasn't ripping apart at the seams. I longed for someone to promise that everything would be okay. This is the heartfelt plea of anyone who suffers. We want assurance that somehow, some way, things will work out in the end, though we can't imagine how. We want to know that our whole world is orderly and stable, not spinning off into nightmarish chaos. We want to know that God is at the center of our suffering, not only holding our lives together, but also holding us. And in Romans 8, we have that massive promise. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. In other words, the Lord is so supremely in charge of the world that everything touching our lives as Christians is ordered in such a way that it serves our good. This is true whether we face cancer, broken relationships, job loss, bankruptcy, or even a broken neck at the age of 17. And I think more than ever today, we need to focus on that wonderful promise, and realize that when things don't turn out our way, God is still with us. He still loves us, and our steps are still by His order. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hold up today my pastor, Pastor Spangler, who has been diagnosed with carbon monoxide poisoning. And as they take all the precautions and do all the things they possibly can to restore him to whole, just be with the doctors and the nurses. And Lord, we pray for another family that has asked that we pray for a loved one that is in the hospital, very sick. We pray for our economy and we pray for our leaders. It is disheartening to see the fighting, but we recognize, Lord, that this is an enemy-occupied territory that we are on. We ask that you give us peace in this day and give us the courage to move forward with whatever tasks you've placed in our path to do. We thank you for hearing our prayers. All this we pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, our arts and crafts today, the inspiration is taken from President's Day, but there's so many applications you can do with this. It's making a paper puppet of a man. And I'm going to talk to you about President Washington's paper puppet man, but you can use this to make Bible characters. And, you know, it could be go with any history project or any Bible project. It's just one of those great, great, fun things to do. So you go to my Pinterest site and you go to President's Day board. And in President's Day board, I have lots of fun things you can do and it'll inspire you. We're going to talk about making a paper bag puppet, one of those little bags that you put your lunch in. And this paper bag puppet is of George Washington, but there's also one there for Abraham Lincoln. And I'm telling you, it wouldn't take much at all to switch it around and make it a Bible character. You need scissors, glue stick. If you want it to be fast, you can do a hot glue gun. That's particularly nice for putting on the googly eyes because kids like to play with their creations right away. Black marker, construction paper, and for George Washington, we're using tan, royal blue, yellow, and glitter gold, but you could actually put on some real buttons. That would be fun. A white felt piece or white construction paper, 2 medium-sized googly eyes, 4 large white pom-poms or cotton balls work just as well, and a yellow, mini yellow cupcake liner. So for the face, you cut out about a 4.5-inch long piece of paper from tan construction. That becomes your paper. And it also becomes, no, it just becomes your paper. We don't put any little hands on this one. The military coat, you use the blue paper. And for the beard, you're going to use the white construction paper or white felt. And the nice thing about using paper I prefer over the felt is that if you want to make your creation have a beard that's curling, you can cut little strips into the construction paper and roll it up with your pencil. So I always try to give kids the ability to make it their own creation. So when I put something up with my 8 students, it's got some originality in it. And then you put the little yellow strips on, the blue strips to make the coat, and you put some stars in the hat for George Washington. You can all see it there on my Pinterest site. It's MRGamblin2, but you get the idea. You can make anything you want to out of just a little idea. And then you can have a puppet and your kids can make a puppet for telling stories. They can make a puppet for, commemorating a certain holiday, and then just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we've been discussing journaling and I thought, let's talk about maybe one way that you can journal is by genres. So you might say, it might be a way to introduce the different types of literature that's out there and at the same time encourage some creative writing. There's fantasy, comedy, drama, mystery, historical, adventure, fiction, nonfiction, superhero, magical. There's so many genres nowadays, political, narrative. So pick a few basic ones and then say, for this week, every day we're going to write a superhero story. And then they would spend so much time each day in their journals writing that. And then maybe next week you go, this week we're going to do comedy. And you can give them starters, but sometimes if you're just trying to explain what something is and maybe read something in that category, they get the idea and they come up with better things than if you gave them a starter. So that there again, we're talking in our curriculum corner about journaling, and we've covered, so far we've covered the different types of journaling, and now we're covered, you know, that you could have them journal by subject. But here we're talking about having them in a more creative writing type of journaling, journaling by genre. Questions parents ask. Well, I have time just for one question. It's a question from a lady named Faith, and she says her child of 7 years old is lying constantly. And there's two reasons children lie. First of all, they see things differently, so it's not lying on purpose. And second of all, they might be scared. And as it becomes a habit, the truth always is what they think you want them to say. So you need to look at yourself and see, are you triggering that lying? And really pray about it. The Lord will lead you. You can't always just punish a child for lying. And anyway, that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. I hope you will stay tuned for the second half of our show. I'm going to interview my executive producer, Michael Gamblin. And I hope that maybe this will inspire some young person. If you would like to do an internship with MRG Media, we could use the help in editing our shows. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. Today we're going to do a career show, and we're going to emphasize the job of executive producer. And I thought, who better to interview than my own executive producer, Michael Gamblin. Not only is he the executive producer for MRG Media Ministries, but he has devoted his life to helping others sound good and look good. Welcome, Michael, to our show.
Thank you so very much.
Let's set the stage. So just tell us a little bit about your family, where you're from, how many siblings you have, and your mom and dad.
Well, I was born and raised in a little town called Paducah, Kentucky. It's the far western part of Kentucky. And I have two older sisters and one younger brother.
You know, when you think about your family life and your origins, you can look back and maybe you can see some attributes that you have now that have done well for your life. So how did those beginning skill sets get developed? You know, maybe you had chores or something to do.
All lessons in life have a tendency to work together and blend together to train you for different skills as you go. My daddy taught me mechanics. Another person taught me how to do woodworking. You know, so plus, I'm a very logical, sequential thinking type of person, detail-oriented. And even in my later years, as I was working for the Review and Herald, which I spent 35 years working for them, it taught me how to become an efficiency expert. So you can take and you can build all these different challenges and trials and experience you have in life. You learn constantly. It's all the way through life you learn.
So let's go back. What was your first experience with electronics?
Well, it really started out in learning electricity. And that was wiring of houses, learning how electricity worked. And then I got into radio, you know, AM, FM radios.
Well, tell me about, you've shared with me before that story with your dad's first radio.
You had asked me previously, what was my first experience? And it reminded me back years and years ago when I was, I think I was probably 10, 12 years old. My dad brought home a crystal radio. Mm. Now, this is a radio that has no batteries. It uses a crystal and a little wire and a headphones. to pick up radio frequencies. And so you sit there with this crystal, and it was probably about the size of a dime, and you touch different spots to find the different local radio stations. So it taught me, you know, a little bit how the airways work in the electronic field, you know, how things work together. And you learned that not only do you have electricity, you have electronics, you have radio waves, you have frequencies, you have, it opened up a whole new field of thinking.
Yeah.
So this is just where I got started. And then as I went to school and everything, of course, you work on your class in high school where you're amplifying your plays or the speaker or something. And so you get introduced to all this different stuff. So that sparked a interest in sound reinforcement.
There are other skills that one needs to become an executive producer that initially might not look like they have anything to do with, you know, producing a radio show or doing an event where you're doing visual enhancement along with audio enhancement. So what were some of the skills that you learned from your mother? You talked about your dad, but what did your mother teach you?
Cooking, cleaning, organizing, you know, all those things that you had to do as a child, you know, those chores that you hated, but it taught you responsibility, it taught you organization, and it taught you logical thinking. Now, this is the big thing about executive producing of radio programs. You have to think of what the end game is. So if you're trying to bake a cake, you don't just grab whatever you find out of the cupboard and throw it together. It doesn't work. You have to plan that. You have to organize that. You have to do the right measurements of each thing to come out with a successful cake at the end. And it's the same thing with producing radio programs. You can't just slap it up there and just do whatever and get it to come out right. You have to think what your end results is and plan and work toward that. And one key element, I'll tell you up front, is patience.
Yes. So I know this is maybe getting off the track, but it's still really on the track. And that is, how long does it take you to produce one radio show, after not counting the interview, not counting the hours that I know you do to set up the interview, and then the work that you do during the interview to record everything. But then afterwards, how long does it take to edit the show and get it ready for airing?
On average, a half-hour radio program will take you anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to edit. This is where the planning comes in. If you didn't plan your first stuff right, it's going to take you longer to do the post-production. So planning that stuff and getting it set up right and getting all your levels right, all of your background noise is taken out, all of the different stuff that you need to do to get that end results. So, but on average, it takes about 2 hours for any half-hour program that we do, not including the actual interview, travel time, you know, mm-hmm. all the stuff that goes with that.
And you are doing a daily show. So in essence, that's just 20 hours minimal of behind the scenes work.
Of post-production.
Yes, of post-production.
Now, you got to pre-production. Now, I will spend months emailing people, setting up time slots for a convention we would go to. And at these conventions, we can do anywhere from 10 to 12 a day. And so, but I had spent months ahead of time getting all this set up through email and everything. And you were asking earlier also some of the responsibilities of an executive producer. The executive producer will start out first off setting up a schedule for an event, emailing the different PR people, which is your public relation. You're setting up with your public relation people, and then you set up with them, the author, the singer, the, you know, whatever you're, whoever mm-hmm. you're interviewing, and you get all that set up. So in other words, you can spend, for that half hour interview, you can actually spend days.
Yes.
Setting up for just one interview.
I really appreciate the journey that I've gotten to share with you in this, just watching you, because when you are in a convention and you're working with very, what I consider very important people, I'm sometimes actually shaking in the interview place because I know I'm going to be, you know, interviewing Lionel Harris or Ben Carson or somebody from Joel Osteen's group or some famous football player. And I'm just praying, you know, Lord, give me calmness. And you're out there hobnobbing with these people, setting up, you know, so professional, so kind. And I like to think that, you know, even that aspect of the ministry is where God wants you to be.
That's where my organization skills that I have learned over the years has really come to play and has helped me tremendously.
Yes, I see the different publicists and PR people when they see you, you know, it's like a long lost friend. They're just hugging
And we've built up quite a
a connection
between multiple PR people, and they have become friends because we've been doing this now for what? Well, I've been doing it for what?
14 years now.
You started a couple of years before that with Live. Mm-hmm. That's a whole total another thing in itself.
Yes, and it's actually a miracle how we continued on, because when they decided to transition from the Tennessee site to the Simi Valley site, a lot of the shows that were the live talk where people called in and answered questions and stuff, they just couldn't support the personnel to be answering the phones. And so we had to switch gears, and it was difficult. I love the idea of someone calling me and talking, and that had been my vision for the show. But they said, if you will do a pre-recorded shows, you will be able to continue to air you. And that's where you came in, because I knew nothing about producing a show.
Yes. So when we went to that thing, went to pre-recorded, I actually had to start studying. I've had to learn how to do manipulation of the files. Now, there's a lot of good programs out there, but the one I chose, which was a free one to start with, and it's a good one to learn on, was Audacity. And it taught me how to take and, well, let's put it this way. I can take a whole sentence, reduce it down to several words, or make you say almost something that you didn't say. You have that power in the manipulation of the words of people. There are a few things that are my pet peeves. One of them is and I will take that out a lot of times. And you'll take an interview that was made up of so many ums, and then it would all flow together to sound very intelligent. And that's the part that I like about it, is even a bad interview.
I've wanted him to save all the ums, because I thought I could take the ums and tune them and maybe make a song out of them, but he doesn't have the time to do that. I know that's just something I thought was fun to do.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.